You know, and that's our weaponry to keep our child okay. And then after that, we got to get out of here because they can't sit still.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we get far better, so much better than we used to be, the best we've ever been. And sometimes we get better from afar. Either way, this is Far Betterment, and this week I'm joined by our very good friends, John and Betsy Musgrave. John and Betsy are two of the nicest, most caring, and kindest people I've ever known. They're just good people, and my wife and I are very, very lucky to call them friends. I know this probably isn't their thing, podcasting, and that's why I'm very honored and grateful that Betsy and John did this for me. So without further ado, here are John and Betsy Musgrave. Okay, we're recording now. So I guess I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, Betsy.
I'm Betsy Musgrave.
And I'm John Musgrave.
All right. And I don't know, who wants to go first? You guys can talk about like where you're from and things like that.
Betsy, you can go first.
Great. I'm from Ohio originally, born and raised there, lived there 24 years, and graduated from the Ohio State University.
Oh,
in journalism,
the Ohio State.
Yes, and photography.
And I was born up in Rochester, New York, though my parents were from Ohio. My dad was getting a, he was an orthodontist, and he was doing his orthodontic training up there. And so I was in my mother's womb when they moved up there. And every year on my birthday in January, my mom tells me that was a cold morning up that day. So I grew up in Rochester through the fifth grade, and then my dad got an opportunity to go back to Ohio for work going into sixth grade. So I was in Ohio after that.
Okay. So how did you guys meet?
Well, we were both involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, which is a campus ministry. And Betsy was at Ohio State, and I was at a small school called Wittenberg University, about 2,000 students. So it was about hour and a half from Ohio State. And but we shared the same campus ministers did both campuses.
Okay.
They just came to my campus for a day a week. And so they had a conference at Christmas time, right after Christmas, that was in Chicago. And so the way to get there was on, they had two charter buses that were leaving from Ohio State. And so the Wittenberg guys that were going went with the Ohio State kids. And so I got introduced to Betsy because I was in a fraternity, and they figured I would be interested in meeting other fraternity and sorority people. So they
saw. I was in a sorority.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So they saw Betsy and two friends came on the bus, and they were in a sorority. And they introduced us to them. And I thought it was interesting because these three girls that were Betsy and these two friends, Julie and May, were in the same sorority that my mom had been in at Ohio State, you know, years and years before. And so I thought that was weird that I was actually meeting somebody who was in the same exact building that my mom had been in.
Sorority sisters.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes. My mother, someone asked me, so you're sorority sisters with your mother-in-law? And I said, yes, I am.
What an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. So we met on a bus, literally.
Okay.
We met on a bus. Yeah.
Well, so how did you guys start dating and stuff?
Well, we would see each other every so often.
Okay.
We used to joke with Campus Crusade for Christ that it was Campus Crusade for conferences.
Okay.
Because they had like a fall conference or a fall retreat, spring retreat. They had stuff in the summer, stuff
Christmas
in the
conference,
Christmas.
Spring break conference.
Spring break.
And then summer mission projects.
Geez, no kidding.
Yeah.
A lot of conferences.
Busy.
A lot of conferences. This is all voluntary, but it was really fun stuff. And, you know, we enjoyed it. We learned a lot about Christ. But also, I just enjoyed all the other students that were in it. And so Betsy's just somebody I knew, and she knew me for
We knew each other for a couple years.
Yeah, years.
We were friends for a couple years before we'd started dating. And then my roommate that he met on the bus, and I asked him and his roommate, who were fraternity brothers, we asked them to come to our sorority date party that was in the fall and of our senior year.
Okay.
And so,
that was about 2 years after we met.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that was our first date. But we were just really going as friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked him before he liked me.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. She liked me back in the spring, and I didn't know
that. A couple years before.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. And so my roommate and I were unsuspecting victims of this date party.
Wow. She really held that secret.
Yeah.
I did. It's pretty good.
Jeez. So who asked who out then?
Well, it was so Betsy and her roommate asked my roommate and I to come. And so we went over to Ohio State that night. You know, I guess it was a Friday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon. I forget which.
Friday.
I think it was Friday.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like a Halloween party.
Yeah, it was a Halloween. I have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, do you?
Multiple pictures. Because, you know, when you go to date parties, they'd always have a photographer. Mm. And then, you know, would buy the pictures later on when they came out.
Okay.
You know, back in the days of film.
Yeah, that's right. And I had this really cool Hard Rock Cafe sweatshirt on. You know, those were popular in the mid-80s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
the white with the Hard Rock.
Except his was pink, and it was from London.
I had a pink one.
Wow.
My sister had spent a couple of years in London, England after graduating from college, and so she got this pink one from the Hard Rock Cafe in London, so I thought it was really cool.
That is cool, actually.
At the party that night, it was in a barn. It was like Halloween time. The party itself, they bust us out to a barn, and I got mustard on it from my hot dog. So I had this little mustard stain on there.
Do you still have that sweater?
I don't think we donated it or something.
Yeah, it's too bad because it's really historic.
It's
we have it
in pictures. Like a ton of money now.
Yeah. That's right.
Buy a house with that.
Yeah. So she and her roommate asked my roommate and I out, and then we really weren't dating that much, but she graduated early from Ohio State, so she was graduating like a month, 2 months, month and a half after that date.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I forget how we got connected up with that, but I went to her graduation, and we still weren't officially dating.
This is back in the days when there were no cell phones and no email or anything, and so we would write letters occasionally and call sometimes, but it was long distance, so it was expensive.
Oh,
so we didn't do it that much. And we had written and maybe called a couple times before over the past couple years, but then we were doing it more frequently after the date party.
Okay. Yeah.
But we still weren't officially dating.
Okay. So then you guys have been here for 20 years. Okay.
20 years in November.
Being North Carolina, I guess I should probably explain that.
Yeah.
What brought you guys out here? I already know the story, but
So we ended up both going on the campus staff of Campus Crusade for Christ right out of college, which is typical for people doing that, and did that for 6 years. And about 4 years in, I realized, if I was going to be teaching people about the Bible, I should get educated officially, formally
in
the Bible. And so we looked at seminaries, and we ended up going to Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, Florida. So we were down there for 3 years. And after I finished up, there was a church here in North Raleigh who was looking to start a new church in Clayton, where we live now. And Clayton was growing, and all kinds of people were moving in, and so different churches, new churches were popping up that weren't so much indigenous. And so they had us come up here and look around, and we liked it. It reminded me a little bit of where I grew up in Ohio from sixth grade on. And so we made the trip, came up.
We originally were aiming for Ohio, but there wasn't anything really open in our denomination up in Ohio. And so North Carolina was as close as we got.
That's close.
The funny story was we literally drew, you know, at the time you didn't have even MapQuest back then.
Okay.
This was, I mean, maybe there was and we didn't know about it. This was like summer of 98.
And so
we had AAA maps and we're using rulers and figuring out how far was a 10 hour radius from our families in Ohio, because we thought we don't want to make a two day trip with our kids. We already had three kids, and by the time we finished seminary, and so we thought that 10 hour radius went to Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And didn't realize it from
it
here,
included here.
From here, if you drive slowly, it's like 9 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. No. Yeah, that's very doable in a day. And so a seminary professor of mine had talked with the pastor up here that was looking to start a church in Clayton. He was down there for some postgraduate courses. And he asked one of my professors if there's anybody who had just graduated who would be willing to come to Raleigh, North Carolina. And Betsy happened to call his wife, the professor's wife, that night because they had known each other and done some things in seminary together. And she called and got my professor answering the phone. And he said, hey, would you and John be interested in going to Raleigh, North Carolina to start a church? There's a guy here taking a class right now and he's asking about it. And Betsy put her hand to the phone, said, John, we interested in going to Raleigh, North Carolina? I said, nope, it's outside the radius. And she said, no, thanks anyway. But the next day I happened to be on campus getting my campus mail, and this guy, I was literally walking through a classroom during a break to get to the campus mailroom, and he got in between the two tables I was walking between and wouldn't let me by, you know. And so he's a big guy, lifted weights and all that kind of thing, and he said, are you John Musgrave? And I said, yeah. And he said, I need to talk to you about planting a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. At the same time, the professor was trying to start class. And so I just wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. I had our oldest two daughters with me who were second grade and kindergarten at the time. And it was easier to, he said, if you give me your number, I'll call you after class is out. It was easier and faster to do that than to politely explain to him why I couldn't come to North Raleigh, North Carolina. So he called me after class and explained what Clayton was like. And I thought, well, you know, that sounds okay.
Yeah.
And Betsy had been running some errands, and she knew this guy was calling, and she got back from the errands. I remember going out to the garage, and she said, did that guy call? And I said, yeah. She said, well, what do you think? I said, well, we should talk. So that's what led to coming up here.
And we flew up here from Orlando to check it out.
Okay.
And we stepped off the airplane. It was August, and it was cooler than when we got on the plane in Orlando. And
It
was the evening, and in Orlando in the evening it's not very cool. I mean,
yeah,
it's
really
hot during the day, and it's hot at night.
Yeah.
And so, and I wanted to escape the heat, and so when we came here, even though I don't like all the heat that we get in the summer, at least in the evenings it gets cooler.
Yeah.
So when we stepped off the plane, I thought, oh, okay, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, North Carolina in the evening
is nice.
Pretty nice. So
I'll
take it. Uh-huh. I'll take it any day of the year.
Yeah.
How long were you guys in Orlando for?
Three and a half
that.
Years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for the time that he was in school and then afterwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So the program's a 3-year program if you can go full time.
Yeah. All right.
And we were able to do that. And so I finished in 3 years, and then we were around there 6 months between graduating and coming up here for.
And you guys you said you already had your girls.
We had three of the five.
Three, wow.
So we
was that
moved.
Tough?
Not really. No. Actually, we had two when we moved down there to Orlando. And we had one right at the end of my first year. Okay. I actually quit studying for finals in the spring because she went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you're ready. You could give birth anytime. Okay. And we hadn't decided on baby names yet. Oh. So I blocked out about 3.5 hours and went through all the baby name books and we decided on the baby names. And then I went back to studying.
Which is a good thing because she actually came a week and a half early. The other two were full term. And so she surprised us. I was like, wait, am I in labor? And I was in labor and I had a baby.
Yeah. But it wasn't too bad being down there. We were very blessed and it was a really nice situation for us. When we were on ministering on the college campus, we had to raise all our own support.
Oh, really?
It went through Campus Crusade.
Okay.
But and it's a standard salary based on, you know, if you're single or if you're married, if you have a kid, then you can raise a little bit more. But it was all a set figure.
Okay.
But no central funds. And so we had to raise it from churches and individuals who, you know, cared about what we were doing. And so when we went to seminary, about 85% of the support we had, we were able to keep. And that allowed me to go
full-time,
wow, not have to work.
And so I stayed home still with the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. So I literally left our house at about 7:30 in the morning, got on campus at 8 when all the buildings opened up, and then stayed on campus till 5 days a week. And so if I was in class, I was in class. But if I wasn't in class, I was just there studying.
Okay.
And campus ministry had been, there's a lot of nighttime stuff. You know, you're working with students and kind of crazy. And so we needed just the kind of the piece of the regular schedule.
I see, yeah.
So when I left campus, I didn't do any work except to print papers that I'd worked on campus on my laptop.
Okay.
So it was really a refreshing 3.5 years for us being down there.
Good.
We had good friends. It was nice to have other seminary friends there. And we're still friends with a lot of them and see them usually once a year. Some of them with our denomination has a annual national conference for pastors and then also elders, ruling elders that are lay people. And so we will get to see some of them in the summertime.
Oh, really?
During that conference. Nice. Yeah.
So what was Clayton like when you guys moved here?
Smaller.
Yeah. No Walmart.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, no Walmart. Yeah,
we had, so we literally would have a list of things we would get at Target, and it was the Target at Timber Drive, not the close one at White Oak,
because White Oak
didn't exist.
One, yeah.
Okay.
So it was like a 25-minute trip to get to
anything
that was like a Target or anything like that. It was much smaller.
Fewer grocery stores.
Yeah, and Clayton.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Clayton High School grabbed everything from 4042 all the way up to Corinth. And I mean, all these schools.
Wow.
Cleveland High School wasn't there. Corinth wasn't there.
I mean, Johnston wasn't there.
So I think.
So people don't understand, but that's a huge
amount.
Area.
Yeah, a huge area.
Yeah.
It's an enormous area.
Yeah, it's big.
Now there's, two or three high schools in between there, something like that.
I think there are four or five schools that take up what Clayton High School used to.
Wow.
So a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And things have changed. There were no real sit-down nice restaurants to go to. McDonald's and Wendy's.
Yeah.
So really, to get anything besides groceries, you had to go to Raleigh or Garner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
which is like 20, 25, 30-minute trip.
Even just in the time Robin and I have been here, it's grown quite a bit, too. So that's pretty.
When did you guys get here?
We got here 2013, so a year after we got married.
Yeah.
And we've been here ever since.
But, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Had two of our kids here. We like it. I mean, it's funny. We didn't like it so much at first because we're, from a big city and we thought we're, not used to.
It's very quiet.
Speed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Funny story, with the speed is when we first moved here, we rented a place sight unseen. We were just in a rush to get out of there. And so we rented this place and it took forever just to get her to do anything, sign paperwork, send us leases, things like that. And we didn't realize that's just kind of how it is down here. But so that was kind of interesting to get used to. But now I kind of really like it.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. It's funny. Some people move here for that.
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
people, at first, it's a frustration.
Like it.
Yeah. but then it's like,
they
you know, this
like
is kind of nice.
It is.
You know, and
yeah.
as a pastor, I've asked around, you know, I when we get new people, I say, now, are you from around here? Have you moved in recently? Because so many people have moved
yeah.
in.
Oh, yeah.
But most people, you know, said, you know, we wanted to move. We heard a lot of good things about Raleigh, the area, but we didn't want to be in the buzz of suburbia. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's yeah. nice, and they mention this, I hear this over and over, it's nice to go out in our backyard at night and not hear traffic.
You don't realize that you don't hear that either
yeah.
at first. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Did you have that in Colorado?
No,
oh,
no.
Okay.
Everywhere we lived in Colorado, I mean,
you could hear traffic.
Denver is this big, like, sprawling metropolitan mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
You've been there, right?
Yeah.
I've been there.
Right?
Yeah. I've been there.
Okay. So you guys know. When's the last time you've been out there?
It's probably been about 20 years, at least 25,
okay.
30.
So there's no space really in between Denver and yeah. all the suburbs now, yeah. real at all.
So you just yeah. hear traffic.
So it's just traffic all the okay. time. Yeah. yeah. Nonstop.
Columbus,
people.
Where I'm from, Columbus, Ohio is like that. And when my family comes down here, they're like, wow, you're in the yeah. Beltline and you're looking at trees.
You
know, when they fly
bugs.
In, they're
yeah.
like, wow, all these trees. Because when you're in Columbus, it's just
concrete
jungle.
Okay.
And there's no break between the yeah. city and the suburbs. And the suburbs go way out like
yep.
that. And
that's so how Denver just, is, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great for the convenience.
It
but
is, yeah.
you're not going to sit on your porch and listen to like frogs, you know, you're not going to have probably not going to have a fire pit in your backyard
yeah.
or whatever. Like, I yeah. think that's cool here is everybody kind of does that outside at night.
Yeah.
Someone's always barbecuing and
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So we live by the trail and that's
yeah,
nice.
The trail's
and you can
nice.
Walk
yeah.
that at night. And
yeah.
Yeah. I don't miss those things about mm-hmm. living in a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I used to not like the stores being so far away.
Yeah.
But it's peaceful and it keeps you from wanting to spend money because mm-hmm. it's such an effort to
it
go
sure
shopping.
Does. Yeah. I mean, it's a
so
trip.
So you just stay home.
yeah.
You have to plan for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You do.
And it's kind of weird though, but everything's kind of like 20 minutes away
yeah.
in any direction
yeah.
that you
yes.
go. So that's
yeah.
kind of odd.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that's nice, I mean, in our neighborhood now, I mean, when, you know, before the days of MapQuest and Google being able to look things up, I'd be meeting with people in the church for lunch up, and everyone works in Raleigh, you know, no one
yeah,
works
yeah.
here, right? So I'd try to find different routes that would be faster, some kind of shortcut through the country.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
yeah but I had no maps.
Yeah.
And since we're right on the Wake County, Johnston County line, you know, it's just 2 miles up the road there,
yeah.
you couldn't find a map that really covered both. And so I'd be experimenting with things. And I remember I was up like on Capitol Boulevard and I got on Buffalo and I saw Smithfield Road.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we live kind of by
Smithfield.
I'll get on this road and go on
yeah.
it. But literally, when you got into Johnston County on Smithfield Road,
yeah.
Richard
it,
Road here, it was
stopped.
It was a dirt
oh,
road.
No kidding.
It was
okay.
a dirt road. It was right before, and they were just, and so I came into Johnston County. It was dirt road. And so then you're on it for 2 miles, and they were just starting to build Riverwood Elementary School.
Oh,
at the
wow.
time.
Okay.
But, you know, now, you know, 264 didn't used to be there.
Yep.
And that makes a huge difference now to be able to get around
yeah.
Raleigh.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, it's been here since
yeah.
we moved here.
Yeah.
yeah. So we got lucky and got yeah. to have all that convenience. But,
yeah.
Have you guys ever tried to get lost out here?
No.
We do that all the
really?
Time. Oh, yeah.
Really?
We're always trying to get lost.
Really?
We've never been able to. You've somehow, like, you always end up on a road that you know, and you can always get back home.
That's true.
Fun.
But the first few times that we, you know, ventured out or whatever, we weren't trying to get lost at that point,
yeah.
but we did, you know, end yeah. up somewhere where we're like, oh my God, where are we? And no cell service. And so we always kind of just found a way. So now we actively go out and try to like get lost and you never can ever.
The roads do all kind of lead
yeah.
somewhere to another road
that
you'll
know.
End up finding, you know, getting back home.
Yeah. Every single time. Yeah.
Mm.
You'll always end up somewhere.
I've never tried to do that.
Oh, try it.
I don't like getting lost.
You won't be able to, I promise. You'll try and try, and it'll never happen. Oh, it does waste gas, that's for sure. So I guess, do you remember how we met? Because
I don't think
it was...
No.
I want to say it had to do with photography.
Oh, it was. Somebody was asking about photographers in the neighborhood Facebook group, and you had popped on, and I had popped on, and then I asked you if you ever needed a second shooter.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. And then I think we went shooting one time.
Yeah, at least.
With Robin.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the first time we actually hung out.
Yeah.
And you always talked about getting together with John, and we are both terrible at...
Yeah, so I knew your names through. For like a year or year and a half, I think, before we actually met.
I felt like we knew you already. Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I think...
Yeah, I think it's been 2 years at least, if not...
Oh, at least, yeah.
Three?
We're coming up on three living here.
Okay, yeah.
This will be the start of the third year.
But maybe 2.5, because I think it was in the fall or something.
Oh, so it might have been actually even before we... moved in here.
No, I think you were here.
Okay.
Because you were in the our neighborhood Facebook group.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You have to have an address.
Yes.
It's very exclusive. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So photography is really like how we.
That's how we met.
That's our commonplace, I think. Yeah. Which now we don't even do that as much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more Robin's working and or. Investing. that's kind of our thing now. Mm-hmm. But how's photography going?
It's going. I still need to make a page. I'm just backwards with everything. I'm old and I'm digital is scary sometimes and I don't like to do a lot of editing and all that kind of thing. But I know how to shoot.
You definitely do.
It's because I'm now it's prom season. I mean, I'm always sewing.
Part of my
reason why I haven't done as much with photography is because I also sew, which pays more for the photography equipment.
And there's she's always got people coming to get stuff.
Always. It's nonstop kind of because sewing. Yeah, sewing is a dying art, and so it's a lot harder for people to find a good seamstress than it is for them to find a photographer. Not necessarily a good one, but
photographers are everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah. And some of them aren't good, but a lot of times they have a lower price, mm-hmm. Because you kind of get what you pay for.
Yep.
And so it's hard to build up clientele because the ones who are willing to pay me what I'm worth usually already have a photographer.
Okay.
And whereas the other ones, people are always looking, like in a mom's group that I'm in, people are always looking for photographers, but the same people who generally shoot a lot and are in the same price range as me already have a lot of clientele, and then they tend to get those folks recommending them, and so then they get more business.
Yeah.
And then there are a ton of other ones that are brand new, and they're like, I'll shoot everything for $50, unlimited time and unlimited pictures. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. That's just too much. My camera costs way too much to do that.
Well, and people don't realize like the hours you work editing and then you are a seamstress also, so you have to do that.
Right,
and
people
don't realize.
So I'm
that.
Just like, I will take clients who are willing to pay me what I'm worth, and that means that I don't shoot as much.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to shoot more, and it probably would help if I made a page.
Well, yes and no, though. I mean, because we've done that, and we've made a really expensive page, and advertised and stuff, and I don't think it helped any more than word of mouth.
I get word. Most of mine are word of mouth.
It's nice to display your profile or your portfolio,
right?
But I don't know. Yes and no.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I haven't been like, I must get one. I'm just like, well, I'll get it when I get some time. And I always think, okay, when prom season dies down, because that's my busiest season.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Then I'll do it. But then I didn't realize, prom season comes and goes, but then there's wedding season that comes and goes right after it. And then it goes all the way through the fall. And then I'm shooting other people. I shoot a lot more than I post because I'm just posting takes time. And
sure
so
does, yeah.
I'm like, okay, I get paid to do these things and I want to make sure I get people their stuff on time, whether it's photography or sewing, and I don't have time to post.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I get word of mouth, and it's not as busy as I'd like to be for photography, but the sewing, I'm busy with that.
Yeah. So it doesn't even really matter as much, and you can be pretty picky that way
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I always kind of thought it was harder here because we didn't know anybody, but we actually ended up doing better here than we did in Colorado
oh, wow.
in a lot of ways. But I don't know. Yeah. When we first moved here, I thought, oh, this is great. There's a neighborhood and it's like a built-in clientele. But then there was already a photographer here.
Right. Yeah. Then multiple. There are a few of them here.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Betsy said, you know, the dying art is yeah. the sewing.
It really is.
Thing. And,
yeah.
And that kind of thing, people don't, you know, with photography, there are a lot of events that you go to in your other places and it's big special things. But,
yeah.
But sewing is just like, no, I have a pair of pants. They're in my house. Oh, there's someone two blocks over who can fix them. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do. You get those recommendations. I see it all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Or photography, it's more like,
I'm one. Yeah. And then I do get others but yeah, I get others. Most of my clients are word of mouth. I did someone's photos and they said, oh, I liked your, you know, I saw them and they were great. And I want you to do mine. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I constantly on the mom's group that I'm in, I'm like, I'd love to be considered. But, you know, then they usually end up going with someone who has lots of clients if they're in the same price range
yeah,
of me
saying, yeah.
Or they'll go with the ones that are super cheap and
yeah.
I you know and I'll look at their portfolio and I'll be like, that's why you're super cheap.
It's a really like fickle market.
Yes.
It's weird because people want something really cheap but then they want the best photos
yes.
possible but they don't want to pay for them.
Yep.
And then you have like these photographers that everybody's kind of competing all the time. I
yep.
mean, we've changed our prices lots of times just to mm-hmm. stay competitive. And and then you have the people, like we have another photographer here who she's blogging all the time and posting
yep.
all
yep.
the time.
Yep.
And if you don't keep up with that, then, you know,
yep.
and, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm like, I don't have time for that
yeah.
and I don't want to do that.
Well, and I get really burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, especially weddings and stuff because
yeah.
that's what we do
mm-hmm.
a lot. You know, weddings and it's just... It burns me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 600 photos at a time,
yep.
3 weeks of editing.
Yeah,
so. And
yep.
just.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, but yeah, you get burnt out. So
yep.
it's nice to take a break
yes.
once in a while.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, me and you have had this conversation where I'm like, I can't do it anymore, Betsy.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah. I'm like, just take a break and you'll be back.
Yeah, it's been a long break this time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess another thing we kind of have in common is we have more than one kid.
Yes.
So you guys have five, though.
Yep.
We're only on three.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think I'm done. Robin doesn't think so.
But, Robin wants more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what's five like?
Well, we have five daughters.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that like?
And so I'm outnumbered 6-1.
Oh, big time.
Or used to be at home. We have just one at home.
We only have one at home now.
Now,
yeah.
A junior in high school.
Is that sad?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. We always think it's sad when we hear parents or say, oh, yeah, just three more years and
yeah.
we're empty nesters. Oh, that'll be great. And we're
yeah.
like, oh,
we like
this is
having
awful.
Ours at home.
You know, and you know, I make the lunches for the girls for school, you know, and I used to have five piles on the counter,
yeah.
you know, five sandwiches, five yogurts, five whatever, you know,
yeah.
I was doing and put them all in bags, get them in the refrigerator the night before. And, you know, and then it was four and then three. And it used to be like I cook and I used to have to double recipes, you know, now I'm doing single recipes
yeah.
and it lasts two meals.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
But,
I think about that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
yeah.
The nicest thing was, I mean, we're sitting here in February, but just, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, having all the girls
having
back.
That was just so nice.
They all made it back.
Yeah, they all made it back for both of them. Things.
That's great.
And yeah.
So having all seven of us sitting around the table, that was really wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah,
it really was.
I think that's why we've always really like gotten along with you guys, because we love our kids so much. Mm-hmm. And our oldest is 8, and I'm already like, oh my God, 10 more years.
Yeah.
Only 10 more years, and you're moving out. I can't. You know,
I tell people, you know, with younger kids, it's like, you know, one thing is it is nice when they get a little older. You can be in a restaurant and you're not having to deal with, okay, we've got like 12 minutes here. We've got crayons. We've got plastic spoons. We've got straws, you know, and that's our weaponry to keep our child okay. And then after that, we got to get out of here because they can't sit still. But one day you'll be sitting in a restaurant and you'll realize, hey, we're just all eating food here. And I'm not entertaining my kids anymore. But the thing is, when you have little kids, I mean, one thing I really miss is, you know, the aspect of them being small and reading to my kids.
Books,
having them on my lap, having them on the couch or whatever, reading, you know, Go Dog Go, you know, the kids or whatever. Or like, you know, you had a picture up on Facebook a month ago or so where, you know, the kids are hanging off you. And it's like, I used to love that.
I love
that. At one point, I could get all 5 kids on me and walk. You know, one on my back, 2 in my arms, and one kid on my right leg, one kid on my left leg. And that was so fun. Yeah, it was so fun. And those are really sweet times, you know, when your kids, you know, they think you're Superman.
People don't realize, or maybe they don't think about it, but they're adults a lot longer than they are kids.
Yeah.
I think that for me is why it's so important to me to really pay attention to them now.
Yeah. And, you know, because you only have them for 18 years or so.
Well, and less than that before they're sick of you in a lot of cases, you know, or they want to be their own person and they think they know everything. And I was one of those kids. Yeah. You know, I knew it all by the time I was 13. And
right.
Just wanted to be.
I think we all did.
That's a tough time. Yeah.
It's nice when they also get mature enough when they realize they don't know everything.
Yeah.
And then they start to ask you again for your opinion.
Yeah.
that was nice when the girls got, you know, in their mid-20s and realized, you know, especially when they went to college. I remember one of our girls who's out of college talking to me maybe a year or two after she was out, and she's weeping because she said, you know, all my friends, their homes are broken. Yeah. And their lives are, I mean, really their home lives are just a big mess. And she said, you know, so it's been wonderful to just grow up in a home where you two are together. And
Nice.
Yeah. But it was a return of that appreciation.
Yeah.
You know, and that
I can't
was,
wait for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I hope I get that.
The good parents reward, you know,
man.
Love your kids.
That sounds great.
Love your kids. And even though they might be annoyed with you for a few years, they come back and they say, you know what? I was really fortunate that God placed me here.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, it was really nice.
One of ours has also said that she's had a couple of, friends whose parents have split up, you know, once they get into high school.
Yeah.
And she said the other day, she said, it's really nice to she said, I've never worried that you guys would ever split up.
Yeah.
She said, I've never had to think about that or anything. And she didn't realize how fortunate she was and how blessed she was until she started seeing her friends' families, you know, be apart.
It's an eye opener. It's, you know, it's funny. It's the complete opposite for me growing up. All my friends' parents were married.
Yeah.
So mine were the only ones that were divorced. Yeah.
It's almost just flip-flop.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
For kids.
Well, and my parents got divorced when I was like 10 months old. I was, I wouldn't even remember it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes you think though, how lucky, I mean, our kids, you know, me and Robin aren't going anywhere. So,
right.
Not that we know of, but
yeah, you can change that for you. Yeah. I mean, that's the great news. For
hopefully
your kids. You really know, some people just repeat the cycle, but you don't have to repeat the cycle.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
it's also, I think, when you grow up like that. For me, anyway, I really want to work hard and make it work so that, you know, I would definitely think twice if me and her ever got to that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think for both of us, we'd 2-3 times, we'd think maybe 4 times before we ever decided, nope, we've had enough.
Yeah.
So having 2 parents around, not that, you know, one parent can't.
Right.
But
right.
It does make a difference. It is important in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, you're heading in the right way, because it's just like some people have hard things happen to them when they're kids, or not ideal things happen to them when they're kids, and some people say, well, that's just the way it is, and they just go on and do the same thing.
Yeah.
And other people say, you know what, I'd like to make things better.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that's the great perspective to have.
Well, I think for me anyway, my mom was very that way, where she was just like, everything's against me, you know, nothing's working out, and this is how it's going to be, and this is the cards, you know, these are the cards we were dealt. And I always would argue with her, because I'm like, no, it doesn't, why does it have to be that way? Look at this guy, he's, you know, made it this far, and he had less than we do, and, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing we try to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't know anything and always learn something.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can always learn
something every day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, but a lot of that comes from having really good friends too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have taken, you know, things we've learned from you guys or things we've learned from friends in Colorado and applied those same lessons or morals to our children and the way we raise them. So
that's great.
I think it's, you have to learn from everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think our dynamic is kind of interesting because, you know, Robin and I aren't religious,
mm-hmm.
but we really, you guys aren't, see, like I was telling you earlier, what put me off of religion was how exclusive it was when I was growing up and how they were very uninclusive and almost judgmental towards people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I watched that my whole childhood, you know, and I just was like, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys aren't like that.
Yeah.
You guys are completely different.
Judgmental is, you know, hard to take.
Yeah.
It really is.
It turns people
wants
off
to be
from
around that.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody wants to be around that.
That's the thing that it is nice. If you can get away from, you know, the experience that you've had from people who have misrepresented Jesus.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, you know, Jesus himself, it was like everybody who's interested, everybody who came to him, he was like, great.
That's like such a refreshing perspective to hear, because you don't hear that very often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Betsy and I, we deserve everybody's judgment. We deserve God's judgment. You know, we're not perfect. We're very far from perfect. And every hour we're very far from perfect. And the good news of Christ is that we can be forgiven for all our imperfections, for even the things that we do wrong that I mean to do.
Yeah.
And I have plenty of those things. And so, yeah, Jesus told a parable about somebody who was forgiven of a great debt, and then he went out and somebody owed him a little small debt, and he had the guy thrown in jail because the guy couldn't pay up. And the moral, Jesus says, is that you know, the king who's forgiven the debt goes back to that guy and says, how dare you? I forgave you of all this great debt. How can you then go extract from this other guy debt and throw him in prison? And that's really how, you know, what the Bible teaches and what we try to teach in our church, that as Christians, you know, how can we go out and be judgmental of other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because God could have judged us, but he's forgiven us instead. And so
we need to forgive others.
Yeah. So, and that, like you said, you know, Andrew, that's refreshing. You
know,
that's refreshing.
It is.
Refreshing.
It really is. Because, you know, I think I guess I'm speaking for myself, but, you know, we're used to hearing these people can't be part of this, and and God doesn't want them around, and you know, and that's that's always been really tough for me because I grew up a minority, and that's how I feel every time somebody's persecuted like that, you know, like like a minority or be it, you know, any group of people. So that's always been kind of my thing until we met you guys, which, you know, might sound odd to you guys, but it Colorado's not like that in a lot of ways. It's very judgmental, and it's funny. I was telling somebody else's story, but Robin and I never really did anything outside in Colorado. Like, you would think you'd do a lot of outdoors things there. You know, there's nature. And
Colorado's so pretty.
It's, but it's judgmental in that way. So we just never, it never occurred to us. We weren't those type of people. Those type of people didn't want us around. So, so until we got here. And then we started, we're like, oh my God, we love this. We love biking. We love kayaking. We love being outside. We love hiking and stuff. So it's just, you really need perspective. And I think we didn't have that. And we didn't really have many good friends when we moved here either. That was the other thing, is we kind of moved here and felt so different and kind of isolated ourselves and stuff like that until, you know, Betsy came along. You know, and
she'll
and
talk to anyone.
And that was like what we needed, I think, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But I only I only continue to talk to some people.
Oh, well, good. That, that
I will talk to anybody,
then.
And I like people, but I only like to hang out with ones that I enjoy hanging out
with. That makes us feel
That's
good.
A compliment to you. She's complimenting
We feel the same way. We'll we'll ghost you. Like immediately. You know, well, you'll never hear from us again. Not that that's better, but you know. It's hard though, moving to another state. I mean, you guys know. So, well, you guys have moved a few times.
We never thought I never dreamed, I'm sure Betsy didn't either, of living in the South proper. Yeah, just not a thought. And how would that ever happen? Right.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. Do you guys think that some of those stereotypes are true here? Or do you guys find most of those things are...
Sometimes,
the more
I
rural
think.
That... Yeah. It's probably more true in rural areas. But it's person to person.
Yeah, it
really is. Sometimes you're I mean, it just, it just varies person to person.
I could see that, though. More rural areas definitely tend to be more, even a few
and
years
I think
ago,
that's
Clayton
no matter
was
where
like
you
that.
Are, rural, anywhere.
That's true.
Culture changes more slowly.
Oh, big time, It's interesting. But, yeah, for the most part, you know, I don't know. I guess there are some things I think that definitely play true. There's, well, some racism. A little bit definitely can play true here. But it's interesting because I find it on both sides. If you're a minority, they tend to be racist towards the majority, and the majority tends to be the other way. So I think it kind of perpetuates itself in a sense. But I don't know. I like it down here. I really do. The slow pace and the quiet nights.
A nice place to live.
It's peaceful.
Yeah. Good place to raise your kids. Not much crime at all. It's, you know. So, geez. So you guys, I guess back to your daughters since we started on that whole. I know you did want to talk a little bit about your daughter, the your daughter with autism and stuff.
Yeah,
kind of educate people. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, she's 25 and she wasn't diagnosed with autism until she was 15. She was actually misdiagnosed by autism experts at 12 because they really blamed the her symptoms and issues on immaturity, like typical immaturity among kids, and ADHD. And and then also we didn't know as much about autism, and so some of the things that I downplayed, like sensory issues, I didn't realize those actually were symptoms of autism. So if we had, you know, back if we were back when she was 12 and I know what I know now, I could have said, oh yeah, she does this, 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 and this, and they would have known more that that, okay, that's more of a sign for autism.
Okay.
So, but the good thing is that us not knowing she was autistic, we raised her very similarly to her sisters, and we had the same expectations for her behavior, and we had to be more patient. We did know she was diagnosed with childhood depression at 8, and then as she took medication for that, and as the antidepressants lifted her mood, then she was diagnosed with ADHD. And I had emailed a family friend. He was one of my best friend in high school's dad, and he was a child psychiatrist. And I was friends with my friend growing up in church. And then I emailed her dad, and I knew he was a psychiatrist, but I didn't realize he was a child psychiatrist. And they have like 4 more years of training with child psychiatry beyond just general psychiatry, which
oh,
is
I didn't
four.
Know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is four. So if you ever need a psychiatrist for a child, you really should look for a child psychiatrist,
okay,
because they have much more training specifically with children, whereas general psychiatrists have, they go undergrad 4 years, 4 years of med school, then they have 4 years of psychiatry training. But they mostly deal with adults and maybe some adolescents, whereas the child psychiatrists have 4 more years additional after that. At least, okay, I think that's what they have. And it's specifically with children, you know, like 0 to 18.
So it's hard to find child psychiatrists,
yeah,
because of that too.
So much more schooling.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But they know things more, you know, they know how, like children often metabolize medication faster than adults.
Okay.
So they may sometimes need higher doses of the same types of medication that an adult would take because they metabolize it faster in order to get the same results. And we saw when our insurance dropped her child psychiatrist, we went to an in-network general psychiatrist for a couple years, and he didn't seem to know that. And he was saying, he's like, her medication levels are so high. And I thought, that's what her previous psychiatrist prescribed. I'm not a psychiatrist. I didn't choose those levels. And our previous psychiatrist, who we returned to, had given us a book that was called Straight Talk About Psychiatric Medications for Kids. And it was by Harvard's dean of child psychiatry.
Okay.
And in the book, he had said that children do metabolize medication faster sometimes than adults. And so sometimes they do need higher doses. And so it seemed like the in-network general psychiatrist didn't know that. And he was like criticizing me for having her on the levels that she was on. But anyway, my friend had, I had written him when she was in kindergarten, and I emailed him and I said, why does she do, you know, this, and this? And I named some things. And he said, it sounds like she has ADHD. He said, go ahead and check some library books out and read up on it. And if you think she has it, then you can follow some of the recommendations that they say in there. And then a year later, I said, now, why does she do this, and this? She was like grumpy all the time, kind of angry, disproportionate to what would occur. And he said, it sounds like she has childhood depression. And I thought, what? How do kids get childhood depression?
I'm like, so he had a career in this, and he just heard these things and just said, I've seen this,
diagnosed.
And that's what
yes,
that is.
He diagnosed, yeah.
It was,
and,
it was great for
and,
us, very helpful.
It was very helpful, and then he told us, too, this is the time before ACA, where if you had pre-existing conditions, you know, they wouldn't be covered for a year or so. And so he had told us, if you are considering switching insurance, health insurance, you might want to wait to get her diagnosed until after you switch the insurance.
Yeah.
That way, he said, because psychiatric medications can be very costly. And if she has a pre-existing condition, then they might not be covered, you know, until, you know, a year or whatever. And so we went ahead and waited because her behavior wasn't severe. And so we went ahead and waited until we switched insurance. He also told us, you know, get a regular physical health checkup, you know, to make sure it's nothing physical causing the symptoms. And then she was fine. And then we went on beyond that. Her pediatrician suggested a child psychologist first to do like talk therapy because it's the least invasive kind of treatment. And the child psychologist said, yeah, she has depression and she needs more than just talk therapy. And so then she sent us to the psychiatrist. And so that's how we started on that. But our daughter has said that she's very grateful to the way we raised her, for the way we raised her, you know, with the same kind of expectations with a little more patience. Same kind of expectations for her behavior.
Well,
as her
forced
sisters.
Patience.
Okay. Yes.
Because
yes.
It was like, this isn't working. Wait, this worked with your older daughter. This is working with your younger sister. It's not working with you. And so it's kind of, we're forced
to
be patient with her.
Yeah. Yeah. But we also knew she, by that time, we knew she had ADHD and depression. And so we knew she was different. And so, we feel and she feels that has helped her be able to function in society, you know, independently. And of course, you know, there are different levels of functioning or whatever you want to call it. And so, I mean, there will be some that, you know, no matter how you raise them, they will still need more support.
Yeah.
But we have seen other kids on the spectrum that if they don't have the same expectations on their behavior. She had a friend that we went to the mall together, and this girl was talking really loudly.
Okay.
And I kept trying to remind her to use her indoor voice. And this was when she was a teen. They were like 15 years old. And I would say, you know, shh, and try to get her to talk more quietly. And I saw her looking at my daughter, and she rolled her eyes because I was shushing her. And I thought, you know, people don't like it when people are loud in a public place. You know, it's kind of rude. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if you don't get told that, then people are going to think you're rude or strange or whatever, and that's going to affect how people are around you socially, you know? And so we just, you know, we just tried to help our daughter know what expectations were of most people's behavior and try to help her, you know, behave that way.
So, well, she already said this, but so you guys think that made like a big difference for her?
Yeah, I think she thinks so too. You know, we do, and she thinks so because she is able to, you know, she has a job and she's had a job for a while. And, you know, she needs a little more patience and understanding if like things upset her. Mm-hmm. But other than that, she doesn't really need anything different.
What was it like for your other daughters to grow up around?
Hard.
Like, was it?
It was hard.
Yeah. Especially for the two who were closest to her.
Okay.
Because especially back then, one thing we're glad for now is there's a lot more awareness of autism and Asperger's syndrome, those kind of things. And so there's a lot more slack given to people.
Yeah.
When Allison was growing up, it was, you're just a bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
You're just misbehaving.
You're doing it
on
purpose.
You're being obstinate.
Looking for attention.
Yeah, those kind of things. And so that was hard, but it wasn't just from, and she had some wonderful teachers and some teachers who didn't understand that.
Okay.
But also among students, you know, because of her autism issues, that would, her sisters who are closest to her, you know, then it's like she was doing things that weren't of the norm. And, you know, when you're a teenager, you just want to not be noticed and that kind of thing. And so that was tough for them. And they, you know, it's her oldest sister, who's the closest to her in age, 2 years older, started realizing toward the end of college, you know, having Allison as my sister was really helpful to me it's been really helpful to me as a person. Who I am now is better because I had her as my younger sister, even though back then, at times, it could be really frustrating because I didn't just have a normal sister that people weren't saying what negative things to or about that kind of thing. I think it would be easier for her now if she were 12 years old, starting at 12, growing up. But perhaps all that kind of thing built in her and her sisters some resiliency. And a less of a care of what people are saying, which is a great strength to have as a human being.
Yeah, period. I mean, we could all use a little bit more of that, I think. Geez. Especially as a young woman.
Yeah.
In the world, I mean, I think about that. I mean, well, you guys know, you have five of them, but just myself with my one daughter.
Yeah,
I'm super hypersensitive now to the way, you know, women are treated, and I've talked about this with everybody because it's such a big fear of mine.
Yeah.
Having that resiliency is big, I think.
Yeah.
But that speaks a lot to the kind of parents you guys are too, because they could have had a completely different perspective. You know, they could have just hated each other, and mm-hmm. and they don't. You know, I think that's a nice thing that your daughter says, that she's grateful for yeah. having that mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah, she initially after college went to do a master's degree to be a nurse practitioner. Now, when she got into late in the degree, she said, "I don't want to do this work." But she specifically went to a school that had a program in
psychiatric nursing.
Yeah, okay. Pediatric psych.
Okay.
And it's because she wanted to be able to help families that went through stuff like we did, having a child who, to no fault of her or his own, has these issues to deal with that nobody else does. Our autistic daughter used to come home from high school, and I've got, a picture of her, and she used to come in the door and lie face down on the carpet and fall asleep.
She was exhausted.
She was just so exhausted mm-hmm. from getting through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was her experience. Poor girl. And that's hard to walk through
But she was able to do other things. Like all five of ours have been cheerleaders, middle school and high school, and a couple in college. And she did that too.
And she did track all 4 years in high school too.
Yeah.
Only two of her daughters have done track all the way. They've all done track, but only two of them have made it all the way through high school. So she did a lot. But with our oldest daughter, she just saw those kind of things and said, I could maybe help some people with this. Because, if you've grown up, Betsy and I didn't grow up with anyone autistic in our family.
I didn't either.
And there was hardly anything written on it.
Yeah.
All you knew is if someone were autistic, it meant they couldn't speak and they had repetitive motions, which is full-blown autism. But there are these other levels, kind of the middle level of Asperger's, which is most of the guys who work for NASA and the women who work for NASA, just hyper-focused.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And very intelligent. And then there was Allison was on the most functional tier. They used to have three tiers. I think they have four now.
No, I think they still have three.
They have three. Mm-hmm. But hers was called pervasive development disorder. And that was the least... she was the least affected by the autism,
okay.
but she could do a lot, and she's very smart. And because she was very smart too, she sometimes got high expectations put on her, which she just couldn't hold, keep up with. She's our only daughter who didn't make it through college, even though we've got two still to go through, but she's one of the smartest, if not the smartest girl we have. She can memorize stuff just like that. Have you ever seen Veep, the show Veep?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
I've actually always wanted to.
Yeah. There are two seasons free on Amazon Prime if you have Amazon Prime. The language is terrible in it.
I can't even watch it.
Is it that
offensive
bad?
To me. Yeah.
But it's satire about how the national government works.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, she is my least favorite character of the Seinfeld folks, but she's wonderful in the show, and I love her in the show. But she has someone following behind her. You didn't happen to watch Arrested Development, did you?
Yeah, actually, I did.
Okay, so Buster.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Buster won the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in his role on Veep.
Okay.
And he plays the guy who's her information guy. So he stands behind her like at ceremonies. And as someone comes up to her to shake her hand, he says, "This is so-and-so. He's vice president of NASA. He has a daughter who's into camping, and another one's her son is at Harvard right now." And so then she says, "Hey, how's that son doing at Harvard?" But I've always thought Allison could do that.
Yeah.
She could just memorize it. We can literally say, "Allison, what was that? When did that happen?" She says, "Oh, that was March of 2003 because," and she can relate it to these other events. But she went to college for a semester and just couldn't do it. You know, and she had like
3 incompletes and a D.
Just overwhelming, or
organizational skills are lacking.
And so I remember getting that report card back and seeing that, and talking to some folks at the university, and sitting Allison down, and I said, "Here's the deal: massively successful people have not gone to college. I'm a Steve Jobs fan. Bill Gates didn't finish. You know, and so college is not necessary to be a successful life and to make money. You don't have to, you know, a lot of people who are very wealthy now haven't gone to college." I said, "But academics is a game. And so you've known through your life that other people who weren't as smart as you could get better grades because they can play the game. I can play the game. Here's a homework assignment, finish the homework assignment, turn it in on time. You can't do that, but you're smarter than most of the people who are doing that." And, you know, that was good for her to realize and come to terms with, but it's still, you know, it's still tough.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
No, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Organization is not something, I mean, you either are or you're not, I think, a lot of times. And that's such a great way to put it, though. Academics is a game. I guess I've never really looked at it that way.
It is. There's intelligence involved, but you can be really average and get all A's if you can play the game.
Yeah.
You know, the game is knowing what to study, when to study, getting your stuff in on time.
And there are different types of intelligence too. You know, there's like social intelligence and academic intelligence. There's artistic or spatial awareness, you know, all different kinds of things. And some people are better at one than the other. And some people are gifted in almost everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you just do the best with what you've got.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't really hone in on that a lot of times. It's hard to, though. It's really hard to figure out what your niche is and then stick to that. I don't know. I think you guys have raised some very well-rounded girls, so
thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, we love them. They're like great part of our lives.
Yeah,
and so satisfying to have them.
That's such a nice way to look at things. It really is. That's why we like being friends with you guys. You guys just have like a great perspective on things. And, you know, so I always am really amazed by how grateful you guys are, you know, and how thankful, I guess, and satisfied, you know. I don't know. It's not something you see
very often.
It's all
Jesus, really, literally.
Yeah.
I say it, but I mean, I mean it too. Yeah. I'm like, it's thanks be to God that he's blessed us. And I always tell people, even if you're not religious or you don't believe in God or whatever, if you, if people follow biblical principles, a lot of times things work out really well for them, even if they don't believe in the Bible or whatever, you know, the golden rule, you know, and then the Ten Commandments, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, you know.
I think we're big believers in those things, though. Just even as people.
Being kind to other people.
Nothing we have, we really done. You know, I had a great growing up. Yeah. I love my childhood. And my parents think I had a great dad and a great mom. And I didn't do anything for that.
Yeah.
I didn't. And where I grew up, I enjoyed, you know, all the different places I grew up. None of that was anything to me. Even, you know, different abilities I have, I didn't. Yeah, I was just born with certain things I can do well and other things I can't do well. But you know, you can work at things. But it's, you know, one great inability of mine, which I wish I had an ability in, is to be able to dunk a basketball. But you know, I just can't. Yeah. You know, but other things are things that you can, you know, dunk the basketball on, but. But, you know, those things aren't my doing, you know, and just gifts from God and anything can happen. You know, great parents can have kids get in great trouble and have hard lives, and not so great parents can have great kids. One of the guys I respect the most in my life is a
guy I was in junior high and high school with. It was in Ohio, and his mom didn't care about the family. She was, you know, with other guys and that kind of thing. And he lived with his dad, who was just on welfare, and they were having to live with somebody else. And he worked as grocery clerk and, you know, going through school and poor side of town and all these kind of things. But he realized, you know, I can still use the gifts that I've been given. And so he worked hard at what he had been given, and was grateful for what he had. And he's got a great wife now and great kids, and travels all over the world.
Yeah, he's now successful in his job.
Yeah. Mm. But it's just being grateful with what you have. And he always had, you know, kind of a contentedness. He knew he had gotten a bad hand.
Yeah.
been dealt a bad hand in terms of the things around him, but personally he realized that, you know, he had some gifts that he could use and all that. And so anyway, it's a good way to go through life to be grateful and to realize you're not so great.
No, I'm. That's,
you know,
yeah, that's it really 100% is. True.
And when we realize that, yeah, I tell folks in our congregation, this world is not just. It's not. One of my favorite verses in the Bible has become something I noticed just a couple of years ago, right in smack in the middle of a book called Ecclesiastes, which Solomon was writing at the end of his life. And he was talking about the way the world works, and he says, the righteous man the righteous man gets the wicked man's reward, mm-hmm. and the wicked man gets the righteous man's reward. All is meaningless.
I love that.
and it's just
very true.
It's very mm-hmm. true. And yeah. and through the whole book, he's dealing with things aren't as they should be.
Yeah.
The one who treats his neighbor well, everyone should say, hey, this guy's great. You know, the one who works hard, he should get the job. But sometimes there's favoritism.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, all kinds of things come into life. And so I tell folks in our congregation, the world's not just. When nice things happen to you, it's a bonus. Be thankful. You know, and God owes us nothing, but he gives us a ton of stuff. And on this side of the grave, there's going to be, you know, a lot of stuff that doesn't work out, but some stuff does. Just as colloquially we say, count your blessings. But it's the way God wants us to live. Be grateful for the things he gives to us. We deserve none of it, but he gives it to us anyway. Gives good things to us.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to end things, actually. Yeah. I mean, I've kept you guys quite a while, too. Well, thank you guys so much.
Well, thanks for having
I appreciate
us.
It. No, I've yeah. been wanting you guys on here for a while, so.
Well, Betsy told me you're doing this, and one of the main reasons is to get to know your neighbors better. So,
yeah,
I've been glad to be able to sit here, and you know, we've eaten before, but to eat another meal with you,
great meal,
you
did a great job with the food.
You guys are way too nice, but thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Yep.
We love having you guys, and we don't have you guys enough. I mean, well, John, this is your first time. Over to
here.
The house,
I run by your house a lot.
That's funny, yeah. You run right there on the trail.
It's a terrible place to run. I'm usually going uphill from the trail when I'm passing your house. I didn't know this was your house.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is one of the steepest places in the neighborhood.
That's the reason we picked this house though is because it's right on the trail. So
you're like 150 yards, 100.
Yeah, right there. So we just biked up and down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right. Someday we'll ride. Right on the river, maybe. But
yeah.
A lot of scary fish in there. So, and bacteria
and snakes,
copperheads,
yeah. Ticks, and, yeah, and way too scary
many,
outside.
Way too many things. The outdoors is terrifying.
Yes, yeah.
But no, thank you guys very much.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're gonna do it again someday.
Great.
Sounds good.